I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting.
You know, there are certain things in the world that have great value. When you think about items of great value, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it diamonds? Gold? Maybe silver? Personal relationships? Family? Friends? And then, how do you determine the worth or the value of something? Isn't the value of something related to how much of it's available? Most of us understand how this works. When there's a limited supply of something, it increases in value for those who want it. They're willing to pay more to get what they need or what they want. Hello, friend, and welcome to this broadcast of the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I'm delighted to have you join me. I hope you'll stay with me for the next half hour. I know you'll be encouraged as we present a message from God's Word and some beautiful music to lift your spirit. If you're joining us for the first time, we're in the middle of a study from the New Testament letters written by the Apostle Peter. Each time we're together on the Voice of Hope, we present a message from God's Word. We open the Scriptures and allow them to speak to us. It's our conviction that God's Word is its own best commentary. So on our program today, we'll look at something that Peter talks about that has great value. Now, we've already decided that supply has something to do with value. So if this thing that Peter talks about has great value, that must mean it's in short supply, right? Well, keep listening, and you'll soon learn what I'm talking about. Right now, here's the choir to sing about something of great value, our salvation. Praise the Lord. The plan of salvation was in place before God even created the world. That's how much he cared for you and for me. And that's an amazing truth. Now maybe you're thinking, that's it, the plan of salvation. That's the subject of today's program. Well, that's a good guess, but it's not correct. Certainly, our salvation is of great value. In fact, it's priceless. No one can ever duplicate the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. There's no earthly value great enough to attach to our salvation. But praise God, even though there's only one means of salvation, all mankind can possess that salvation. Now, in just a few moments, our Bible teacher for this broadcast, the late Dr. J. Otis Yoder, will be revealing the subject of today's program. But before he does, let's pray and ask God's blessing on the teaching of His Word. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. You have exalted the name of Jesus above every other name. And we understand that the gift of salvation you provided for us through Jesus is a priceless gift. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your one and only beloved Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We can never thank you enough for that precious gift. Now, Father, as Dr. Yoder comes with his teaching from your word today, he will speak about another subject of great value. Open my ears and the ears of my listening friend to catch what this is, and open our hearts to receive and understand your truth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, listen carefully to discover what it is that Peter tells us is of great value.
As we examine the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, we learn that God created the woman for the man. He did so in wisdom. The woman was created to be man's associate, his helper, one that was fit and suitable for him. But soon the serpent twisted the relationship and lured Eve to aspire to be more than God had meant her to be. That we can clearly see in his temptation, for he said to her, "You can be like God." That was not what she was intended to be. She was in the image of God, but not to be like God in the sense that Satan wanted her to be. Today, our society has strained the husband-wife relationship to a breaking point. It never was God's intention that marriage should break up. This strained relationship between husband and wife has gone over into the male-female relationship in general society. It is important for us to come back to the Holy Book of God to see what He has to say to us. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, has some words for us. Listen as I read 1 Peter 3, 1-6. Find the text in your Bible and follow as I read. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." I see in Peter's words several attractive gowns every godly woman will want to wear. First, she will clothe herself with the gown of proper deportment. Peter says, "She shall be subject to her husband." I'm fully aware that this is not very popular today, but it is biblical. He says, "Be in subjection to your own husband." This is a principle which really works. we of course can bring up various and many illustrations, perhaps, where it becomes very difficult. We hear much today about wife abuse, and I do not deny that possibility. But the Scripture here teaches us that the woman will clothe herself with a gown of proper deportment, which includes subjection to her husband. Now there is a difference in the meaning of subjection as over against subjugation. Subjection, as Peter uses it, is a voluntary experience, but subjugation comes by force, where the one in charge becomes very abusive in bringing that person into control. Subjection is a good word, and will apply very well to the godly woman. She will also be discreet when she clothes herself with a gown of proper deportment. She will be discreet. Actions still speak louder than words. You probably have heard this statement: "What you do shouts so loud, I cannot hear what you say." Today, we have come up with another concept. We call it body language. The Apostle Peter says, "She will be chaste. She will be discreet. She will be careful how she deports herself." All of us are distressed by a loud-mouthed person. Such a person is odious in any gathering, and it can be very serious and very detrimental in the husband-wife relationship. For a godly woman, her gown of deportment will demonstrate her godliness. Amen. Second, she will clothe herself with the gown of pleasing decorum. She will not get her standards from society, the society of the world. She will not brood over the fashion magazines. She will avoid the glitter of the fashion makers. How much time women of the world spend leafing through the fashion magazines to find out whether or not they are in vogue or in stride with the fashions. But the godly woman will avoid the glitter of the fashion makers. She will avoid the false faces that are so prevalent in the world. When one looks at the average woman of the street, you don't really know what you're looking at, because their faces are painted to such a degree that they're really not natural. We need to remember the Bible teaches us in a number of places that God is no respecter of persons. Now, what that really means is that God pays no mind to the face. While you can paint up your face and try to make it as beautiful in your judgment as possible, but God is not going to look at your face. God is going to see more than your face. For the godly woman will clothe herself with pleasing decorum. She will develop a beauty of spirit. She will have that adorning of the heart. She will be concerned about the inner beauty. Her heart is a seat of her beauty. She will recognize that God takes note of the heart. Samuel the prophet learned way back there in the Old Testament time, when he was about to anoint the king of Israel, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Let me bring that up to you and me today. God looks on the heart, and the woman who clothes herself with a gown of pleasing decorum will pay attention to that. Pride can make a woman look ridiculous. Well, it can make anyone look ridiculous for that matter. But the woman's gown of pleasing decorum will demonstrate her godliness. Yes. And thirdly, she will clothe herself with a gown of personal devotion. There is that in every woman to select a worthy model. Peter calls our attention to this. He spoke of the old-time women, the holy women of old time. So a godly woman will select a worthy model. She will look about and see an ideal wife. Peter calls attention to the ideal couple that he thought of. Abraham and Sarah. It is important for us to recollect a moment how they related to one another. Abraham, when he received a call from God to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to the land that God would show him, he went. The Bible reports no objection from Sarah. She, Peter says, is an ideal wife. The godly woman would select an older woman as her model, one whose life speaks for God. And there are still those, yes, praise God, they are. We have some godly women that younger women can select as a worthy model for life. But more than that, she will be a worthy model. She will, in her personal devotion, show that she has, first of all, a careful relationship with God. Godly women will recognize that daughters will become like their mothers. That is the first model the daughter has. Oh, it is still true, friend. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Oh, we don't rock cradles today, unfortunately. But motherhood is the highest order, and daughters will model after their mother. The godly woman, in her personal devotion, will put God first. Those holy women of old trusted in God, and the daughters that have now come will also trust in God. Her gown of personal devotion will demonstrate her godliness. We need a renewal of the ideals of godly women. Our generation has lost that sense. From Peter's words, I commend to you, lady, these gowns to demonstrate your godliness. Proper deportment. Let your actions demonstrate your godliness. Pleasing decorum. Let your appearance demonstrate your simplicity and godliness. Personal devotion. Let your purpose demonstrate your dedication and your godliness. Now let us pray. All-wise God, we marvel again at thy wisdom, Lord, for having made us the way we are. I want to thank thee, dear Lord, for my faithful mother, who all through her years aimed by the grace of God to be a godly woman. And I pray for my friend who is listening right now, who may be struggling with some of these matters in her personal life. I pray that by the grace of God she may clothe herself with these gowns of proper deportment, pleasing decorum, and personal devotion. May each one rise to the high calling of being the kind of wife and mother the Bible sets forth. I pray this and give thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, choir, and thank you, Dr. Yoder, for opening our understanding from this scripture on the value of godly women. As Dr. Yoder opened the word to us, did you catch the quality of a godly woman that is of great price? That's right. It is a meek and a quiet spirit. And a woman with a meek and quiet spirit will echo the words of the song that the choir sang. Peter said, a godly woman with a meek and a quiet spirit is of great value. Their value is high because this kind of spirit is so rare. In our day, many women have been taught to be assertive, to demand their rights. And at least some in our culture have tried to tell women they can do anything men can do. Many women have been convinced that the beauty and grace of femininity that God gave them by virtue of their gender is something to be disdained rather than something to be cherished. So they adopt an appearance of masculinity and then wonder why they're often not treated with respect. Or perhaps they go the other direction. They realize the natural physical beauty God has given them is very attractive to men. So they dress provocatively, and men are attracted to them on the basis of their physical beauty rather than their godly character. But you know, most men who pursue a relationship with a woman at this level aren't interested in her as a person. They're interested in what they can get through a physical relationship. And you know, that too will ultimately result in their being treated with a lack of respect. You see, whenever we violate God's principles, there's always a price to pay. So I agree with Peter. A godly woman with a meek and a quiet spirit is a real treasure. And I'm so glad that God has given that kind of woman to me as my wife. I can't begin to tell you what a blessing my wife has been to me, and to our children, and to many other people also. God is using her to encourage other younger women to develop a meek and a quiet spirit. And you know that's biblical too. The older women are to teach the younger women, not only by their word, but also by their example. And I also know some unmarried women who have developed this rare quality, and God is using them in His service. He's using them in unique and effective ways. Some of them serve as missionaries on foreign fields. Some are school teachers, or nurses, or secretaries. But wherever they are, and however they serve, people notice, and they appreciate the value of their meek and quiet spirit. I wonder, would you do me a favor? If you know someone who models this kind of spirit, will you thank them for that in an appropriate way? I know it would bless them, and it will benefit you too. And you husbands who are listening right now, if you have a wife who demonstrates this kind of spirit, please tell her how much you appreciate her. She needs your encouragement. Now, friend, I trust the Lord has spoken to your heart. Were you challenged by our time in the Word? Is there someone you know who would benefit from hearing this teaching? Would you like to listen to this message again so you could think more carefully about the principles that were presented? Well, you can do that in a couple of ways. First, you can visit our website at heraldsofhope.org. Today's teaching and many other programs are archived on our website, and you can visit anytime when it's convenient for you. Or you can request a CD copy of this program too. Just let us know if you want an audio copy. And you can reach us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And if you'd like a printed copy of this teaching, then I'm happy to inform you we recently had this whole series printed in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. You may request your copy of Sojourners in Faith by sending an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. 9:2. And we also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. When you send your gift, don't forget to ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Thanks for being with me today, friend. Next time on The Voice of Hope, Lord willing, Dr. Yoder will present another message in our series from 1 Peter, The Character of a Godly Man. So you plan to join me. And until then,
all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, o'er the fullness of His love.
Perfect
rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day,
this
my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.